Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the man, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord. 10 people were miraculously healed, and only one says thank you. This is one of those Bible stories that every parent can stick in their back pocket to really hit home the lesson on the importance of saying thank you. Whether or not one's heart is really in it is, of course, an important point of consideration. But I do believe that words matter, and they help to shape our character. And ritual is important. It's an important force in our lives. When we practice saying words of gratitude, we are changed, as the words become easier to fall off the tongue, and the spirit behind the words is strengthened. Saying thank you, or taking a posture of humility and gratitude, is exactly what that one healed man did in our gospel lesson today. This man's ritual of gratitude was fourfold. First, he turned back. Turned from rushing away and doing what he wanted, he turned back to his healer. And then he praised God with a loud voice. We're not told exactly what his words were, but whatever they were, he was yelling them boldly and praising God for this healing. Third, he took a posture of humility, prostrating himself at Jesus' feet because words weren't enough. So he used his whole body to show his gratitude. And lastly, the healed man thanked Jesus. Turn, praise, posture, and thanks. Turn, praise, posture, and thanks. As you may have expected, I believe there's much more to the story than a simple say thank you lesson. This short story opens with a line that sets the stage for what radical healing is happening here. The story begins by telling us that Jesus is traveling on his way to Jerusalem, and he's in a region between Samaria and Galilee, which means he's really nowhere of note. And as he's approaching the edge of the village, he saw the 10 lepers. He saw them there because they weren't allowed in the town square. They weren't allowed in the synagogue. These lepers had been cast out to the edge of the village in the middle of nowhere. And at that time, when a person was diagnosed with a contagious fear disease, they were sent away from their homes, living in packs on the edge of their communities and forced by law to keep a distance between themselves and clean people. To make matters worse, the lepers were asked to also call out a warning to anyone who might be approaching. "Unclean" is what the law said they were to yell. Their words and their rituals and their postures certainly gave this group of lepers an identity. Unclean. Dangerous, sick, alone. And then we have the Gospel of Luke telling us that Jesus crosses every barrier. There is this dangerous pattern in Luke of rule breaking and boundary crossing. And the story picks up that Jesus is radically going outside the bounds of what is socially acceptable to bring mercy and healing to this group. He crosses village lines. He crosses social lines. He approaches the sick group. He crosses ethnic boundaries and heals the Jews and a foreigner. I don't know what the exact modern equivalent to this story is, But the news this weekend had me thinking a lot of who we label, disregard, disrespect, undervalue. From this painful presidential campaign, to the suffering in Haiti, to the continued horror of Syria. And to be honest, I found the news about the presidential campaign so disturbing this weekend that I wrestled greatly with what a Christian response is to such ugly, disrespectful attitudes and the systems that are at play that gave these voices their megaphones. What is the Christian response in our world today? What is the church's posture here? I do not have all the answers, but today's gospel reading reminded me that Jesus is on the move. Jesus is moving to all the places that I would rather not go, and probably all the places you would rather not go too. Jesus is on the move speaking redemption in the face of abuse, calling beloved what is so often cast aside. Systems of abuse and power and inequality are strongly at work in our lives and in the world. But so is our God. Could we fill the world with a ritual such as turn and praise and posture and thanks? Could the foreigner of this story be the modern-day model of Christian abuse or response to abuse and corruption? Because Jesus is going to the margins of the world, and there is where Jesus brings the kingdom of God. Into the lives of 10 hurting and isolated people who are then sent back to their communities to be visible signs of God's mercy and presence in the world. This isn't happening in the synagogue. It's not happening in the town square. It's happening to people who have been labeled as unvalued, as sick, as unclean. And that is where Jesus is so often bringing the power and mercy of our God. That is what God is up to in our scripture story today. Messy, scandalous healing. But now let's turn and consider what the healed people are up to in the story. 9 of them are obedient, doing exactly what Jesus commanded, running back to show themselves to their priests. And they're most certainly doing what their hearts are happy to do, which is run back to their communities and show themselves to be walking miracles. But the 10th guy, he crossed even more lines. He broke out of his isolated, unclean prison to turn and praise and posture and thanks. Jesus doesn't really talk to the man. Rather, looking around for the others, he labels this man a foreigner. The wrong man did the gracious thing. He turned and praised and postured and was thankful. The foreigner teaches the disciples. The foreigner teaches the status quo what a grateful heart looks like and moves like and worships God like. The foreigner is the reminder that God's promises know no boundaries or borders. God's grace will not abide by the arbitrary lines we love to draw between ourselves and one another. The foreigner consistently finds the most unlikely proclaimers of the good news to be the best choice to announce God's kingdom in our world. And he does it with gratitude. What a powerful force. Turn, praise, posture, thanks. That pattern that that man enacted is the same pattern that our Sunday morning worship follows. Each Sunday morning, we begin in worship with confession, the spiritual act of turning towards God and away from self and sin. Turn. We then worship God with our singing, with holy and unbelievable words like, "Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God." Praise. And we stand or we sit, moving our bodies with heads bowed or eyes closed or maybe hands up and hearts open to hear God's word. Posture. And we give our God thanks through more singing, through offering a portion of our financial gifts to God, through serving each other and forgiving each other with a sign of peace, And finally, we show our thankfulness right here at the Eucharistic feast. Now, Eucharist is a very churchy word. More often, we call the Eucharist Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper or the Sacrament of the Table. But this morning, I want to use the word Eucharist because this English word comes from the Greek found in our story. And the Greek word is Eucharistia, which means thanks. The man prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and Eucharistia, thanks. When we come to this table week after week, we come to celebrate what scandalous redemption we have been given by God through Jesus Christ. We come to celebrate that the table of mercy is set for us, despite our dividing lines and sinful nature. We come to the table at the invitation of Jesus, who knows our sickness, who knows our labels, our division, our pain, and we receive mercy anyways. And so we do turn and praise and posture and give thanks. How has God broken into your life to bring mercy and healing? What foreigner has revealed to you a measure of divine goodness you had not already known? Could turning and praising and posturing and thanks still be a powerful force in our world? I have to believe it is so, for Jesus calls us to go and do likewise. So thanks be to God who moves beyond our lines. Thanks be to God who turns our messy stories into walking miracles of healing. Thanks be to God who claims us as helpless infants and washes us in healing waters and promises to be with us forever. And thanks be to God who is ever turning us to walking miracles of healing and wholeness in a world that desperately needs such good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.